Fresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
And good day to you today, Brevard County. Thank you for tuning in to the Refresh radio program right here on WMIE 91.5 FM, today's Modern Worship. My name's Bob Arthurs. I pastor Merritt Assembly of God, 165 North Grove Street, Merritt Island, Florida. Tonight is Bible study night at Merritt Assembly of God, and we are going to be going through our Fire Bible Discipleship program. And tonight we are going to be talking about praise, praising God. And don't want you to miss out. Don't want the rocks to have to cry out because you refuse to, or I refuse to. And so we are going to be, that is our topic of discussion for tonight. We also have youth ministry tonight, and they are also going through the Fire Bible Discipleship program, but they are doing it on their level, at their speed, and so we're doing our best to be disciples who make disciples who make disciples. And so if you would like to join that journey, you can hop on board this train anytime. You don't have to start at the very beginning in order to get going in the process. You can jump in at any given point in time. These are, for the most part, standalone lessons that work together in symmetry, that by the time you get all done with everything, there are pastors in parts of the world that the Bible training that they have is this Fire Bible Discipleship program. So, you would be well equipped for dealing with matters of faith here in 2023. So, and tonight is I'm teaching, and so we would love to have you come and be a part of that. I also want to say thank you today to the folks of JITS Concrete, 321-536-5804, 321-536-5804. The folks there at JITS Concrete, Greg and his team, they have decades of experience. Literally all of them, I tell people, I've been at the church for 30 years. I've got an office manager who's been, in the employment of the church for almost 21 years. And then I got a worship leader who's been with us 17 years. If, you're looking for that type of expertise, that's what we've got. They've got decades of experience of knowing how to handle various projects, from just, a patio to a driveway to a foundation. All of those have different requirements. They've got the expertise. They've got the experience because they know what they're doing. They know how to do it the right way so that they don't have to come back and redo it again. And they have the great work ethic. You're not going to have to be hounding them. Are you going to come and finish my job today? Are you going to show up today? Those are the types of things that, make you not want to deal with certain industries. Whenever you have that issue going on, you won't run into that with the folks of JITS Concrete. They have the expertise, the experience, and the great work ethic to get your job done with excellence. And we encourage you to give them a call, have them come out, look at your project, give you an estimate, and see if y'all can move forward from there. Today, we start a new journey here on the Refresh radio program. We've been talking about the Sermon on the Mount for months and months and months and months and months. And so today, we are going to go to the book of Acts, chapter 2. The book of Acts, chapter 2. And I'm going to read verses 40 through 45. Actually, I think I'll just go ahead and read all the way through the end of the chapter. Acts chapter 2, verse number 40, through the end of the chapter, which is verse number 47. And it says, "And with many other words, he testified and exhorted them, saying, Be saved from this perverse generation. Then those who gladly received his word were baptized, and that day about 3,000 souls were added to them. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of bread and in prayers. Then fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done through the apostles. Now all who believed were together and had all things in common, and sold their possessions and goods, and divided them among all as anyone had need. So continuing daily with one accord in the temple, and breaking bread from house to house, they ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved." So if we looked at this situation and we see that thousands of people ended up giving their heart to the Lord on the day of Pentecost, and it concludes in chapter 2 with saying, "And the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved." I believe that we can all look at that and see that that is the goal, that is the model of a New Testament church. I remember hearing a pastor of a large church here in America having a conversation with Dr. Cho, who has passed away now, and he had the largest church in the world, and he came to America, and he was having a conversation with this this pastor of a very large church, and he said, "Do you have a New Testament church?" And he said, "Well, yes, we do." And so he asked him a series of questions, and then he came to this question, and he said, "Do you have people in your church getting saved every day?" And he said, "No, we don't." And he said, "Then you don't have a New Testament church." And, you know, that is the goal, that people, the people in the kingdom, would be living the life in such a way that there would be people in Brevard County giving their heart to Jesus on a daily basis. So in Acts chapter 2, you do have the day of Pentecost, and you have the multitudes being saved, but then you have statements about what the launch of the church on the day of Pentecost, how that began to impact the community. And so I want to take you to verse number 42, because it talks about the life after the 3,000 souls were added to them in verse number 41. "And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of bread and in prayers." I want to talk to you today, and we're going to go down this study for a you know, however many programs it takes. I want to talk to you about the devotion of a believer. The devotion of a believer. Because a lot of times we want to talk about devotions. Devotions. Devotions are those little daily Bible studies that people are encouraged to do. And those are wonderful. They're fine. They're great. It was a daily scripture reading that God used to quicken my heart to prepare me to transition from a youth pastor to a lead pastor 30 years ago. I have no problem with devotions, with an S on the end. But what I primarily want to talk about today is devotion. Devotion to Jesus. The New International Version of verse number 42 reads slightly different than what I just read to you out of the King James Version, where it says, and they continued steadfastly. And it the New International Version says that they devoted themselves to the apostles' doctrine. I believe that's how that goes. I copied that verse down, but I copied it in the New King James Version instead of the New International Version. So they devoted themselves in the apostles' doctrine. Whenever I start thinking of the word devoted, because of the age that I am and, you know, things that were popular back when I was not as old as I am now, is I can't help but think of the song by Olivia Newton-John, Hopelessly Devoted to You, and no, I'm not going to sing it for you. If you listen to the words of that song, it's not a real uplifting song. It's really more about someone's emotional attachment to a less than perfect individual. And I want to present devotion as a very uplifting possibility that is available to every believer, that they can be stubbornly devoted to Jesus, steadfastly devoted to Jesus. You see, there's a difference between those little devotions that we read and a life that is devoted to Jesus because we've been saved by his grace and we're not trying to work our way to heaven. My wife and I, one year, we gave out a devotional book as Christmas gifts for some of our family members. And we bought one for ourselves, too. A friend of ours had that, and they were in the ministry. They've been pastors and evangelists for years. And they said, this is one of the greatest devotions that we've ever gone through. And so we got it to go through that. But you can study all you want, but if you look at the Pharisees, you're going to see that they are proof that you can study the word and be simultaneously empty of a saving relationship with Jesus Christ. When I think of devoted, I think of someone who is continually and faithfully committed to a person or cause, and the definition continues to persist stubbornly. I tell people that I have the gift of stubborn, but it's not the gift of stubborn against the things of God. It's the gift of stubborn for the things of God. In the Old Testament, the word devoted meant to be given irrevocably over to God. It wasn't temporary. It wasn't conditional. And there were no takebacks. Sacrifices that were devoted or given irrevocably over to God, they were given in such a way that the giver said, I've taken my hands off of it. I put it in God's hands for him to control. And so here next month, we're going to be having our annual business meeting. We have a business meeting once a year where we give, you know, full account to the members of the congregation. There are some non-members that attend, but members get there to vote on officers and things like that. But we conduct ourselves in such a way that we don't have anything to hide. We're not trying to conceal anything, because as the pastor, I'm much more concerned about standing before God and having to give an account of my stewardship of the resources he entrusted to Merit Assembly of God than I am about people. So I conduct myself very faithfully with those gifts that have been given over to God. So at one point in time in our church, and it had more to do with some previous church activities that people had been exposed to, where they didn't get the same sort of feedback that, you know, we give to our members. And so they used to ask questions for an hour. And you know, that's longer than I preach. So I preached a message and explained to them just the same thing that I explained to you, is that I'm much more concerned about standing before God and giving an account than I am to men, and that we want to have a testimony like some of those workers in the Old Testament did, where they were devoted to the faithful work on the temple to such an extent that the people said, we can see your faithfulness in action. We don't have any, we've taken our hands off of it. So what I explained to the church is that when I pay my tithes to the district and when I pay my general council ministerial dues and things like that, that I consider those things given irrevocably over to the Lord, that they are devoted to God. And so when I give those things, I don't give them with strings attached. I don't give them as if I'm controlling them. I give them over to the kingdom of God and to the God of the kingdom and say, you know what? The people who are in charge of this, they've got a much bigger responsibility. All my responsibility to do was to honor by giving what was devoted and committed over to God. They have to give an account for that. And so once a year we get a financial report just like our members do. And the only difference is the one that we get is a much more complicated version. And honestly, I just kind of stand there, bob my head up and down, take a look at things. But I couldn't even really begin to understand that. You know, if you want to make sure that I never get elected to an inappropriate position, you don't ever make me the treasurer in charge of producing that complicated report. You know, you want a simple report? I can do that. I've got friends of mine who are ministers and accountants. They would understand all of that stuff. The rest of the time, I'm just looking at it and saying, I'm so glad that I was devoted to giving to the Lord and that God has blessed it and has stretched it and made it go further than it ever has. We need to be devoted, and I'm going to add the word stubbornly. We need to be stubbornly devoted to Jesus. And by that, this is what I mean. God has been better to me. He's been better to you than we deserved. And in this life, there are going to be trials. There are going to be challenges, and there's going to be difficulties. The enemy has a purpose in those, and that is to try and discourage people from serving God. And so there's all sorts of demonic lies that God doesn't care, God's not real, God's dead, God's not going to get involved in your life. And unfortunately, the reason that those tactics are still in use is because those tactics are used with success to much too great a degree or by the enemy. When I said yes to Jesus, I meant yes to Jesus. When I said, I will go wherever you want me to go, I meant it. And there wasn't any question. So at one point in time, I was in a very cold city with a culture that I did not fit into very well. I was okay. I you know, I'm I I impacted some lives, but it was a completely different culture than where I grew up. But because I said yes to God, He ordered my steps. That's where I met my wife. My wife and I, we transitioned from there. We returned back to my hometown for a season. And during that season, I sent out about 200 resumes because I had asked her when we were engaged, but before we got married, I said, I believe that God is wanting us to take a leap, not just a walk, but a leap of faith. Honey, I don't know if I can tell you where we're going to go. I don't know if I can tell you how we're going to get there, or, but I just know this, that if we will devote ourselves to God, that He is going to take care of everything. And so we were both working. I think she worked two jobs there for a while, and I worked as well, and God began to give us some favor, and all that time we were still looking for a job, to the extent that we were looking for a ministry, to the extent that we hadn't even unpacked most of our boxes. We were ready to go at a moment's notice. And so at one point in time, it looked like we were going to go to a church in Iowa. And things were moving forward. And in the midst of that, we discovered we were going to have our first child, and the church fired us before we ever worked. They said, we hired a couple. We didn't hire a family. That, you know, after being told at your first place, you're worthless, and you'll never amount to anything in the ministry. And then the second guy says, we're not going to hire you because, or, you know, we're going to fire you before we've ever had you work a day because we can't pay you enough for your family. There's some rough starts going on. We sent out like 200 resumes. I sent them to Alaska. Here's a confession for you. I have no desire to ever live in Alaska. I sent resumes to North Dakota. I have no desire to live in North Dakota. It was just a few miles south of the Canadian border. It's some of the coldest environments around. But I told God, wherever you want me to go, that's where we will go. We sent out 200 resumes. We didn't get any response for months and months and months. And one day, I had reached my breaking point. And I said, I'm tired of walking around with all of these boxes. And we're going to unpack everything. We're going to unpack everything. We're going to find a spot for it. That's what we're going to do. And so we did. And the next day, a pastor called me. And so that was on a Tuesday, I believe it was. He said, we're going to be in your town on Thursday looking at a college for our son. Could we take you to dinner? Said, yes, we can make that happen. 2 weeks, well, shortly after that, I was taking my wife up to see her family, and within 2 weeks, we had relocated to a place that had very, very few people. But we built some lifelong relationships there, served for 2.5 years until God moved us on. You see, if God called me to the city, I went to the city. If He called me to the country, I went to the country. When He called me to Florida, I said yes to that. When He called me to Merritt Assembly of God, I said yes to that. You see, if God calls you, He will equip you. If He equips you, He will provide for you. And I want to just reach out to some people today and say, I want to challenge you to elevate your relationship with Jesus to not just saying a prayer and asking him to forgive you of your sins, but also be like that missionary that I heard that when the plate came by, he didn't have any money. So he put the offering plate down on the ground and he stood in it. And said, God, I give you everything I am. That means my wallet is in, my mind is in, my possessions are in. And he had devoted himself. By the way, that guy's still alive. He's still doing a great work for the Lord. And God has ministered miraculously on his behalf. I will tell you, when you have given yourself stubbornly over, steadfastly devoted themselves stubbornly to the Lord, all of a sudden you are going to find that discouragement is going to be very short-lived battles instead of long enduring wars. You're going to find that when you live in the center of God's will for your life, that there's no place better to live than right in the center of God's will. A lot of times we ask people if they want to give their heart to Jesus and make him the Lord of their life. Today I want to take you to Acts chapter 2, verse number 42, and say, will you commit to continuing steadfastly, being stubbornly devoted to God, and say, God, I'm taking my hands off of it. I'm yours. I've come too far to turn back now, seen too much to ever deny the reality of your majesty, of the beauty of your holiness, and the compassion that you have for your people. You know, I don't think you would like it very much if you were in a marriage and the person said, yeah, I like you a little. I like you on Mondays and Saturdays. The rest of the those other 5 days, I'm not so sure. You're looking for somebody who's going to be as committed, as devoted to the relationship as you are. And I can tell you this, Jesus is looking for devoted believers who are just as invested in the system as he is. I can tell you this, I wouldn't want to be hopelessly devoted to the John Travolta's character in Grease, the way Olivia Newton-John sang it, but I do want to be hopelessly devoted to Jesus, and I want you to be as well. You will enjoy being devoted to him. God bless you. You have a great day. We'll see you the next time right here on the Refresh Radio
Program. Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merrittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.